Blog Talk Radio.
You're bigger than the
to it all. All he wants to know is, if you can declare tonight, you're bigger than that. You're bigger than that. You're bigger than that, Jesus. Put it all in your hands. I put it all in your hands. You won't leave me hanging. You won't leave me hanging. He's here to carry you tonight. He's here to lift your burden. He's here to lift your burden.
All our trespasses. Welcome to Prophetic Grace Network, PGN. We are back in the saddle. We are back on duty. And we are grateful to be here. So excited once again. Again, this is the day the Lord has made. So we should have been rejoicing in it all day and being glad. I just thank God for his presence. Thank God for life and life more abundantly. I'm grateful to be here. Welcome to the show. I'm Terrence.
I am Tanisha. It is June 27, 2021. It's 9:14 p.m. Central Standard Time. Like Terrence said, we're excited to be here. Thank you all for giving us a call tonight. Very grateful to be used by the Lord. Very grateful to be alive in such a time. We're glad that you are a part of the PGN family, and we're just excited to hear what the Lord has to say tonight.
Amen. Father, you are all we need. What a beautiful song. But really, the anchor of tonight's message, honestly, I believe what God really wants to minister tonight is he's all we need. He's all we need. We think a lot of times what we want is what we actually need, and we confuse ourselves. But God makes it plain with us, him being the author and finisher of our faith. And God has put together a magnificent life for us on this side, as well as an eternal life. And so we have to really understand that as believers, we're walking with him on this side of heaven, just to know that we always need him. And and the Bible talks about, you know, that to live is Christ. To live is Christ. And you ask, okay, what does that really mean, to live is Christ? Well, you got to study the life of Jesus and understand how he lived. And he's called all of us to live the same way. Will we all be perfect? Will we be perfect like Christ? No. But I really believe when Jesus said that it's for us to always have our faith in God, always be seeking God, you know, recognizing when you've erred, recognizing when you've made mistakes or what have you, but seeking God to correct it, you know, because he said we all have to take up our cross. We have to bear our cross. We have to carry our cross. And even when Jesus was on his way to Golgotha's hill, he still needed help carrying his cross. And so us as in the body of believers, yeah, we all have our own crosses to bear. But when your brother and sister is a little weak and you got a little strength, you know, you can help them bear those infirmities, help them carry their cross to a particular point, you know. And that's what we all really need to be focusing on, really lending a helping hand. I heard a person say one time, he said, if I can't help you, I can't do nothing at all. I know, I ain't going to do nothing at all. If I can't help you, I ain't going to do nothing at all. He said, if you ain't trying to help me, leave me alone. Get out the way. Move on. But God is such a good God to where how dare us to lay down on him? How dare us to have pity parties and be complaining and worrying and doubting, when all we really got to do, you see God as so many things. You don't have to look, you don't even have to look past your mirror. You can see that God is there because you're here. He exists. Go outside, look at the trees. Feel the breeze. Look in the sky. Look at the birds. Look at all the animals that move and respond to him. God created all of this. And so tonight I really pray that we truly get the revelation of knowing that God is all we need. You have to tell yourself, God, you're all that I need. You're all that I need. And when I say that, I'm not saying that you won't feel certain things. You won't experience certain things that could try to take you out of the mindset of knowing that God is all you need.
Mm-hmm.
But opportunities come in our lives to show us that God is all that we need. You think about getting yourself all worked up over situations, and then when the situation subsides, you look back and you be like, well, what was I worked up about that for? I could have let that go a long time ago.
I've been guilty of that.
Yeah, we all are. We all have. But then you ask yourself, how do I get out of that? You know, the Bible says that life and death is in the power of the tongue. And this is just what I believe truly based off of what I know and where I am right now in the Word of God, that I have to speak myself out of situations. I have to begin to talk to myself.
Mm-hmm.
I have to begin to feed my spirit, thus saith the Lord.
Yeah.
The Bible tells us deliberately to think on these things that are pure and of good report.
Yeah.
But when we're not thinking on those things and we're thinking on the stinking things, we're thinking on the doubts, we're thinking on the worries, we're thinking on the angers, we're thinking on the disappointments, we're thinking on the tiredness, we're thinking on the negativity, we're thinking on everything but what's good.
Mm.
When we allow ourselves to think on those things, that's what we're going to create in our reality every day. But yet still we'll go to God, Lord, I'll be glad when I get out of this. Really? If you're really glad, if you're waiting for that moment to happen, you begin that moment with your lips. Even when it comes down to our salvation, he said, confess with your mouth. Then believe in your heart, and ye shall be saved. It's the order. Say it. Get it out in the atmosphere, even if you don't believe it at that moment. But you keep saying it. You're feeding your spirit. You're changing your reality. Because what you say consistently, it's definitely what you're going to believe. And that's what's going to manifest in your life. So what do we really want to manifest in our lives tonight? Do we really want what God has for us to manifest in our lives boldly? Is that what we really want? I know we'll say it, but our actions don't show it. And God knows that. Think about it. The enemy is out to steal, kill, and to destroy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He wants to steal your joy, kill all your hopes and dreams, and destroy your opportunities to live eternally with Christ. That's ultimately what he wants to destroy. Your opportunity to see Jesus. Because I don't see no other way things can be destroyed. You know, if Christ is there is no destruction. But without him, it is destruction. Satan can come and attempt. He can bring attacks, and he can try all of these different tricks. But long as you got Jesus, long as you're walking with Jesus, God will identify things. He tells us to shun the very appearance of evil. He says when we resist the devil, he'll flee. But most of us are entertaining the devil. Mm-hmm. We're not resisting him. We are entertaining him. When my mother was talking the other day, and I was like, Mom, you know, so many of us in the body of Christ are always so loosely speaking about what the enemy is doing. But we're never really 100% going in on what God has done. See, Satan is already defeated. It's past tense. What we are experiencing in our lives have already been done. We're walking into it. It's like having a life set, and based on your decisions determines the direction your life will go.
Mm-hmm.
Terrence do this. If he makes this decision, it's going this way. This is what's going to happen. You don't see it, but God does. Like, but you know, God has to honor his word. What you sow, you're going to reap. Good or bad. Don't honor his word. And so tonight, my prayer is that our hearts are open. Our hearts are really open to really get out of fear.
Mm-hmm.
To really get out of fear and to really trust God. Trust God wholeheartedly. He allows things to come so you can get there. And that our perspectives are put in place. And not to give power to things that do not deserve it. Giving power to people that don't deserve it in our lives. To things that don't deserve it. And I pray that God reveals to us what it is that he wants to do in each and every one of our lives individually.
Mm-hmm.
That he will make your next move plain to you in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
And that when he makes it plain, you move on it. Because as soon as God will show you something, Satan will come in and be like, nah, are you sure? There's a scripture where it talks about when you get something from the Lord, Satan comes in immediately and tries to snatch it from you.
Mm-hmm.
But you hear me tonight. You receive it. And you move on. Because I can sense frustration in the body of Christ. I can sense fear, a lot of anxiety in the body of Christ right now. But there's a shifting going on. And we're not move afraid. We won't do things. We won't live afraid in fear. We won't live in fear. I bind that in Jesus' name. We will not live in fear. We won't move in fear. Fear has no place here. At all. Because, you know, if God is the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore, right? He said he changes not. He changes not. And so the things that we have read, the things that we believe, what we've heard, how do we see those particular things? We have to have faith for it.
Mm-hmm.
You got to ask yourself, those folks back in them days had some major faith. But yet and still, they saw all of these miracles. Even the faithless witnessed it.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, the call on our lives is that greater works we shall do. Greater works.
I found the scripture about the seed. I wanted to read it whenever.
Go ahead.
So it's called the parable of the sower. It's Luke 8, starting in verse 4.
Mm-hmm.
It says, when a large crowd was gathering together and people from city after city were coming to him, he spoke to them using a parable, he being Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the sky ate it up. And some seed fell on shallow soil, covering the rocks, and as soon as it sprouted, it withered away because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. And some fell into good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear and heed my words." Now his disciples began asking him what this parable meant, and he said, "To you who have been chosen, it has been granted to know and recognize the mysteries of the kingdom of God, and to rest, but to the rest it is in parable, so that though seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the meaning of the parable is this. The seed is the word of God concerning eternal salvation. Those beside the road are the people who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes the message of God away from their hearts, so that they will not believe in me as the Messiah and be saved. Those on the rocky soil are the people who, when they hear, receive and welcome the word with joy, but these have no firmly grounded root. They believe for a while, and in time of trial and temptation, they fall away from me and abandon their faith.
Mm-hmm.
The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, but as they go on their way, they are suffocated with the anxieties and riches and pleasures of this life, and they bring no fruit to maturity. But as for the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word with a good and noble heart and hold on to it tightly and bear fruit with
them. Mm. All the different scenarios that come along with seed time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what type of grounds, where are you sowing these seeds?
Right.
This, that, and other. So,
because look at the different examples he gave. There's people who have heard it, and they get excited, he even said.
Mm-hmm. They get excited.
They get excited. But then the devil comes and takes the message away from their heart so that they will not believe.
Snatches it.
Then you have those with a rocky heart, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're not firmly grounded, rooted in the word. And so when trial and tribulation comes, they fall away. Then we have thornies,
mm-hmm.
right? So they're so caught up in excess. They are suffocated. Come on now. They're suffocated with the anxieties and riches and pleasures of this life, and they bring no fruit to maturity. And then there's those who have good ground and noble heart, good and noble heart, and hold on to it tightly
mm-hmm.
and bear fruit with patience. I mean, Jesus himself is teaching us what to do. And like you were just saying, we have to not be anxious. You know, this is, we're not just telling you these things because they don't apply to us. This is something that we have to actively deal with. You know, I've been dealing with stress, you know, myself. And what Terrence said is the answer. How do you deal with stress? I'm going to go to Philippians 4. Starting with verse 6, do not be anxious or worried about anything.
Mm-hmm.
But in everything, mm-hmm. every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God. And the peace of God, that peace which reassures the heart,
mm-hmm.
that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus, is yours. Finally, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable and worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think continually on these things, center your mind on them, and implant them in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Now, something that stood out to me is verse 7. Let's go back Philippians 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, that peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus is yours. How do we protect our heart? Because somebody could hear what we were just talking about the different soil, and say, well, how do I make sure that the devil doesn't snatch the seed out of my heart? You have to be anxious and worry for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific request known to God, and the peace of God will basically guard your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's many forms of peace. Because it says the peace of God, which means that the world can offer you a form of peace.
Mm-hmm.
But the world's peace cannot protect your heart.
Mm-mm. That's good.
And so if you want to ensure that your heart is protected from the devil snatching the seed out like a hungry hawk looking for something to eat, you have to make a habit of being anxious or worried for nothing. But a person will say, well, how do I can't control being stressed. I can't control being anxious. The word of God instructs you. It says, do not be anxious or worried about anything, but, okay? So but means this is how we combat that.
Mm-hmm.
But in everything, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God. So that's how you combat anxiety and worry, is through prayer and petition.
Right.
Like I told Terrence earlier today, because my stomach had been bothering me for most of the day. I wasn't sure if it was something I ate. And I prayed about it. And the Lord said, you're stressed. And I knew I was stressed because I had a dream last night about work. And I know when I have symptoms of stress. Like I start to get panic attacks and other things that start to bubble up to show me that I'm stressing out. So Sam, let me get into my word, which mm-hmm. I did. And while in my word, I prayed about it. Mm-hmm. The Lord helped me because I'm stressing out and I don't want to be stressing out. And I told him the things that were stressing me out,
mm-hmm.
you know, without even realizing that we're going to talk about this tonight. Wow. So that's, and right now my stomach does not hurt,
mm-hmm.
but my stomach was hurting for a lot of the day, you know? And when I prayed and released it to God, my stomach stopped hurting.
Right.
So a lot of the times we could be going through something or feeling some sort of way and we don't really know what it is. And it's a manifestation of the stress or the anxiety that you're going through, but just let God know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't need to know because he's unaware, but because his word is true that if you want to have the peace of God, this is how you have to obtain it, through prayer and petition. So praying and letting the Lord know and then petitioning the throne. Just like you go to court, you petition. Why do people petition the court? They petition the court because they want the judge
mm-hmm.
to do something. That's why you petition a court.
Right.
And so if you're petitioning to God, it's because you're wanting him to do something. The judge, right? He's the judge of the world. So you're going to before the judge, Father God judge, and you're telling him that my job is stressing me out. Lord, I want you to do something.
Mm-hmm.
So help me to teach me to overcome while I'm there. Give me the ideas for my next move. Reassure my heart that I'm not going to be here forever. Help me to understand purpose, and that purpose doesn't always feel good, but help me to always be in line with purpose.
Right.
Because that's something that we, like Terrence was saying, that we got to know what we're supposed to be doing. We have to understand what it means to have purpose, because there's so many, you know, ideas of purpose, and a lot of them are not based on the truth. A lot mm-hmm. of people say, you know, you go to mentors or life coaches or whatever they have out now.
Right.
and when you're asking them, well, how do I know my purpose? Oh, because you'll be excited. They always tie it into a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a feeling. Feelings can lead you astray. Feelings are not sometimes based on the truth, but they're based on perception.
Absolutely.
But purpose is not always based on feelings. You could be purposed to do something that you absolutely abhor.
Absolutely.
You could be purposed to do something that you absolutely hate. So we can't keep tying what we are or are not supposed to be doing with feelings, because you could be in your purpose and you've been doing it for so long, you're tired of it.
Yeah.
So you need to be refreshed. But just because you're tired of it doesn't mean that it's now no longer your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to get out of that thinking as the body of Christ that everything is touchy-feely. That don't even line up to the word of God. We walk by faith and not by sight. It's not based on what you're feeling in the flesh realm.
I just got a big God because everything's going
right. It's going great because I'm excited. You could be excited and dead wrong at the same time. I have been there.
Mm-hmm.
I was excited. I just knew, right? You know, I just know. Bless you. You could just know and don't know nothing because your feelings are talking to you. But what is the word of God saying? No, because God said it. You can say, well, I feel this way, and that's not a lie. But just because you feel that way, you can understand that just because I feel this way don't mean that that's the truth. Like I said, with my current situation for employment, I don't like it. But I know that I'm purposed to be there. I know that for a fact. Not because of how I feel, but because what God has told me. When what God has told me is in direct opposition to how I feel. And so I do and I continue and I endure because of what God told me, because that's the truth. My feelings are not the truth. What God said is the truth. My feelings, the enemy will try to use my feelings to get me out of place and out of purpose and out of will. And so as believers, we have to mature. We can't be sucking on our bottles anymore. To where we just want to feel good. But like babies, they want to feel good. Baby feels good. Baby don't cry. But we got to get past that.
Right.
It's time for us to chew on the meat of the word and to be meaty in our walk with God and to be willing and able to nevertheless, not my will be done, but your will be done. We have to get out of that feelings realm and do what God is telling you to do. The things need to be done. There's work to be done. You have a purpose. And guess what? Your purpose is not tied into, you know, your socioeconomic background, your race, this, that, and the other. Your purpose was given to you before you was even here. He knew you before he formed you in your mother's womb. So don't allow anything to get in the way of your purpose. Well, I that sounds great, but my background is this. Who cares? Your purpose was your purpose before you even had a background.
Right.
Your purpose was your purpose before your mother and father were even selected, because before you were formed in your mother's womb. Your purpose was your purpose before you were born in whatever country, whatever race you have, whatever community you're part of, whatever association your family is affiliated with. All that was in place, your purpose, before all of that took place. That's all secondary. So don't think that, don't make moves based on that stuff. Make moves based on what God has said, who you are and what your purpose to do, and believe it and hold on to that and walk in it. And don't be walking by, I don't feel like it. I don't feel like working. Every day I wake up and I check my bank account, wonder where my millions at. But alas, they have not been there yet. So if I took the attitude that I'm going to walk based on my feeling, we'll be eating up, we're living under a bridge. I can't do things based on feeling. There's plenty of times that we've done things that we didn't feel like doing, and we just pushed through for the world. So why we can't do that for Christ? Push through. There's people that you probably absolutely do not like that you have to deal with, but there's a purpose behind it. So keep dealing with, go to God. So that you're not anxious or worried about anything.
Mm-hmm.
With prayer and petition. With thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, that I even have a job.
Mm-hmm.
But help me to have a good attitude. Help me to not be anxious about it. Help me to help carve out my day, because there's a million things pulling at me every day.
Mm-hmm.
A million things and ten levels of bull that I don't want to deal with.
I definitely, you know, I try to consistently ask God to help me focus on what's needed to be focused on.
Yeah.
And because the distractions are always there.
Oh, yeah.
And we do things habitually, you know, and not even knowing that we are doing things until we're doing them.
Right.
Be like, what? This ain't what I had meant to do today or what have you, but God is awesome. God is awesome, and he's there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, man, just use me for whatever it is.
Right. He's the great I am.
You know, because the thing about it is, like, we as individuals have so many areas of our lives that we need him in to help assist us in fix.
Mm-hmm.
And fix things beyond our control, areas of our life to where we really don't have time to really be worried about other people's lives, you know. But what we can be is compassionate.
Mm-hmm.
We can be loving.
Yeah.
And be present. Let people know, hey, I'm here with you. You know, because it's easy for people to want to have, like, pity parties and tantrums and stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know. And we as believers know, we have emotions, but we know we can't stay there.
Right.
We know that that's not the answer.
Mm-mm.
It's not the answer. And so we be present with people. In their moments, it's like, yes, I understand. And once they get done, okay, now let's focus on this.
Right, let's direct. We got to be like air traffic control.
Right.
Like, okay, we're not going to stay in this place.
Absolutely. Because,
you know, Terrence and I, we even allow each other to vent and have a mini tantrum. Right, we even allow each other to have many meltdowns, but we can't stay there.
Uh-uh.
That's what we've committed to one another. We're not gonna stay there, because
uh-uh.
we will not RSVP to each other's pity party. That's what we're not gonna do. If he's trying to have a pity party, I did not RSVP, and let me pull you up out of there, because
right.
I see you got a whole DJ, balloons, a punch bowl. I'm not staying for this party. And the same with me, he doesn't allow me to go there. You know, and so that's what we have to do with people. We have to train people. Because everybody doesn't have parents that train them up in the way that they should go. So we have to step in as spiritual mothers and fathers and train people that God has placed in our path.
Absolutely.
You know, when they're having their tantrum and their little meltdown, you know, you acknowledge that, because feelings are real.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Feelings are real, but feelings aren't always the absolute truth.
Nope.
So you acknowledge that this is how you feel. And I acknowledge that you, what you're feeling is very real to you.
Mm-hmm.
But let me tell you the truth. And let's move on from this party, because it sucks. Nobody's even dancing.
No.
So let's get up out of here, and let's be like David and dance so hard our pants fall down, because
right.
we serve a God who's for us. We serve a God who has ordered our steps. We serve a God who came, was born to die,
right.
to pay the penalty for our sins. And we're none of us are righteous without him.
Mm-mm.
We're like filthy rags. And he did it for some, with a whole crop and a whole heap of filthy rags. He came down. This is God, the righteous. He's righteous and worthy. Righteous and worthy and perfection came into this funky, filthy earth to live a human experience, to be an example, to teach and train us, to die for us filthy rags, to pay the price for the sin when we deserve to pay for the price ourselves,
mm-hmm.
so that we can have eternal life. That's worth dancing for. I'm not dancing at no pity party.
No.
But I will dance and rejoice in that. So even though things might suck, the kitchen sink is stopped up, your kids are tripping, your spouse done ran out on you, the cat done shredded up your favorite curtains, but guess what? You still will always have a reason to rejoice and something to have thanksgiving for, because he died to give you eternal life.
Absolutely.
And you've made the choice to serve him. Sometimes that's it. Sometimes you can't look at your own life and think of something or find something good, but you can always give God thanks. You can always praise him. There's always something to praise him for, but for that fact alone.
Hallelujah.
And so when we're dealing with people, because sometimes it's hard to, you know, tell people to get out of their pity party, because they, what they're going through is really tragic, or it really truly sucks.
Mm-hmm.
It's really just, they're just really in a bad spot.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't minimize that they're in a bad spot.
Nope.
You acknowledge that. You know, I tell people all the time, yeah, that sucks, but... the good news is, you know, and I'll go into the good news. And so sometimes when people are just really in something bad, then that is what you can give them. That one, this life is temporary. It's a vapor.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about my mother the other day. I heard a song. I thought about her, and I'm like, dang, she was alive when that song came out. Now she's, you know, in eternity. She's gone from this side of eternity. Life is quick. It's not forever. But we, as believers, we have the answers. Even if you don't have the answer right now to how you're going to replace those curtains that your cat shredded up because they're discontinued and you got them on sale, you might not have that particular answer at this moment. But you have the truth. You have that. You don't have to be anxious or worried because you can pray and petition God. And then the peace of God,
mm-hmm.
that reassures the heart, the peace which transcends all understanding, the peace which stands guard over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus is yours. Listen to this. Listen to this. I'm going to read this again because I want you to get this tonight because I'm ministering to myself too because I need that peace that transcends, okay? I need that. Because sometimes I just need peace. You ever hear people say that?
Mm-hmm.
They be all crabby and just all bent out of shape. And you're like, well, I just need the peace. Well, what's wrong with you? I need the peace. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sure, me too. But how do we get that peace? Listen, do not be anxious or worried. You know, I'm going to read this out of a different version. Let's go to King James because that's my sweetheart's favorite. Let's go there. Philippians. What is my thing doing? Okay, finally, brethren, I feel like I have one of those white collars with the ruffles on it when I read the King James
Version. Yeah.
So fancy, like I have to talk like this. Okay, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. No. I went to the wrong part. Hold on, let me go up. Yeah, I was in the right place. Yeah, okay. I was so thrown off by the version. Okay. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you.
Yeah.
That's so that is so comforting.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you get the peace. Let me go back to because let me get out of King James. Hold on. I think I got lost because I'm King James. Here we go. I want to go to Philippians 4:6. So let's go to King James. And put my ruffle collar on. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then let's see, where's after that? I'm trying to go to full. Okay. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So this is telling you, if you do this, this is what you get. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall, right? Shall means it's so, it's granted, right? It shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's go back to Amplify, because that King James throwing me all the way off. I got to go back to my Amplify. Like I said, I remember when I was a brand new believer, I was fresh. And I had this intense hunger and thirst for the word of God. I didn't know then that was scripture, right? I didn't know that you could be hungry. That was the best way I could describe it. It's like when you're super hungry and you're like, your stomach's touching your back and it feels like you can literally eat a horse. Like I was feeling like that for the word of God. And I remember I went to the Christian bookstore and I got a Bible, and I think the first one I got was King James, and I was like, oh? And the Lord's like, go back, get, and the Lord told me which ones to get, so I had a King James, I had a New King James. I love the New King James because it's not thou, it's not very Shakespeare sounding. I got an NIV, I got an Amplified, and I got a Living. And I would just have them all lined up, and I would read to understand. I would read all the versions to get full context and, you know, understanding. I didn't know then that they had those Bibles that did that with one book, right? They have the Comparison Bible, I think it's called, something like that. But every time I would read that King James, it would throw me, and I really would feel like I was, like, transported back into days of chivalry. And I feel like I have one of them collars on. But the Amplified is the one that I was drawn to. It's my absolute favorite because it kind of gives you more context, because sometimes you can't translate something word for word because it just has different meaning. It's just, there's so much depth to some words. So that's my favorite. Anyways, do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God. And the peace of God, that peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, is yours. It's yours. That's how you can have it. You don't have to buy it. You don't have to steal it. You can't steal it. You don't have to get a treasure map and go looking for it with your friends. You don't have to beg for it. This is what you do to get the peace. We need peace. We need it. I don't see how we know people who function without peace. You ever just seen somebody that's really bitter, really nasty acting, really hateful? You know how people get bitter and hateful? They don't have no peace. Because this is not your ordinary peace. It's a peace that surpasses understanding. So typically, if a person is in a situation that would rattle you, you wouldn't even expect them to have peace. And so this is peace that makes no sense. Mm-hmm. For it to surpass understanding, it means that a person will be like, why do you have peace when your whole life has fallen apart? Somebody pulled the final string and it's unraveled, and here you are whistling and sleeping at night. How? Because this is how. We need that type of peace. Bitter, hard-hearted people don't have peace. Hateful people don't have peace. Unforgiving people don't have peace. Do you want to be unforgiving and bitter and hateful and ugly and nasty acting and hard to be around and difficult? No, you don't. But in order to not be those things, you have to have peace. You can't have peace and be ugly acting. You can't have peace and be bitter. They're complete opposites. And so having the peace of God, not only does it combat against anxiety and worry, but it combats against the things that come along when people are anxious and worried about things.
Mm-hmm.
Like bitterness and ugly and hatefulness and having a heart that can't even hold on to a word from God. Imagine that. This is seed from God. This is not just some rando giving you a word. This is God himself giving you a word. And if your heart is not even in the right condition, you can't even hold on to it. The devil will come and snatch it clean up out like a thief. Like a thief. And you got all your jewelry and your fine furs and all your good stuff out with the door busted wide open and you nowhere to be found. Thief gonna just come in and have a field day, call his friends, hey, back up the U-Haul. Let's take all this stuff. That's what's going to happen if your heart is not in the right spot and condition and doesn't have peace. That's how you guard your heart, is with peace. So that you're not anxious, you're not worried, you don't have all these residual effects of anxiety and stress and worry, right? Like bitterness and hard-heartedness. And then you're able to maintain the seed and crop a harvest. Right, because when that scripture talked about the person who got the good heart, they get a harvest too.
Mm-hmm.
So not having your heart right prevents you from flourishing. Then you'd be stressed out. So much stuff comes with stress. We're going to do a show one day about stress. And I know this firsthand. This is something that, you know, everybody's got something that they, you know, keeps them humble. One of the things that keeps me humble is that I'm prone to stress. Naturally, Like some people are prone to alcoholism, which I'm prone to that too, which is why I don't drink alcohol. But I'm prone to stress. And so I have to identify, I have to make a conscious effort not to stress. Normally people who are very high strung are like that. When you study different personality types, they tend to, you know, people who are very driven are prone to stress and anxiety. And you have to identify that stuff. You don't claim the stress and the anxiety, but you have to identify what you're prone to so that you work hard to combat it. And so when I was, you know, very fresh in my walk, or even when there's been moments of vulnerability in my life, I have allowed stress to consume me. And I tell you, it stress will take you out. Stress will have you walking around here bald. Stress will have you walking around here losing weight. Stress will have, or gaining, because your cortisol levels are through the roof. So you sitting here looking like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man and don't know why, because you stressed out. You could low carb, you could work out, you could drink water and grapefruits and whatever other diet, and you still have a pot belly because you're stressed out. Because your cortisol levels, your chemicals are working against what you're trying to do because of stress. Stress will have your mind messed up, your teeth. Stress does a lot to your physical body. It is the devil. And I don't wish it on nobody. And so we don't want that for ourselves. We don't want that for nobody. But how do we prevent that? Prayer and petition. Making our requests known to God with thanksgiving. And that's how you get that peace.
Absolutely.
You don't want that stress. It's an ugly thing. And I don't say that lightly. I know that sometimes you're really in a stressful situation. Sometimes you really are in a bind. Sometimes really you're in the lion's den. Sometimes you are in the furnace and it's been turned up. It was 2 degrees and now it's on 80. So I'm not saying that you're not going to deal with stressful situations, but you don't have to fall victim to the stress. As a believer, you have to understand that God has given you the out. And he's trained you. Like parents, we have to train our children in the way they should go. God is our Father. He trains us in the way that we should go. We don't have to bow down to stress just because the situation is stressful. We're the righteousness of God. We are the King's kids. So that doesn't apply to us. We don't have to. So I know that was a lot to chew on. We actually, typically we've been praying over you guys by now, but we always let the Spirit move and allow God to give you what you need, because the Word of God says He'll supply all your needs. So you needed this tonight. I needed this, because when I tell you I'm really tripping that my stomach does not hurt at all. You know, my stomach was like really killing me earlier. Like, it was hurting so bad, and I really prayed. I'm like, Lord, what is it? Did I eat something bad? But I was like, my kids ate what I ate. They ain't sick. You know, Terrence ate some of it. He ain't. What's going on with me? And the Lord said, you're stressed out. You're stressing about things.
Mm-hmm.
So let me get into this word. I ain't got time for that.
Word.
I don't have time to be stressed out. It's not. Jesus didn't die on the cross for me to be stressed out. He did not do it for that. I have an out. So when Terrence started talking about thinking on things that are lovely and thinking about things that are true, I mean, it just triggered me to, like, that scripture is teaching us what to do and how to, you know, how to combat stress. Because you could think on a lot of things. Like I said, you could be, everything around you could be on fire, and you could think about that. Oh my gosh, I'm gonna burn up. The smoke's gonna take me out. My stuff's gonna be ruined. Or you could think on what's lovely and true.
Mm-hmm. You got options.
A good report. Yes. You never have to focus on the things that you're focused on. You always have a choice. You know, now do that in wisdom. You're drowning. Nobody's saying to start thinking about your favorite song. You know, you got to think about, ask God for wisdom how to get out of the situation. But, you know, what I'm saying is that normally we're stressing about things that are not in our current reach or things that are out of our control, or we're trying to come up with a solution, or we're worrying in advance, right, for something that hasn't even come upon us yet because we're afraid that it is going to come upon us. You know, you don't have to think like that. Think positive and say, you know what, this is looming, but God's got me. Because his plans are good plans for me. And this situation that's trying to come up on me is not a good situation. So I trust God is going to, you know, do what he does.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to use it. He's going to neutralize it. Or whatever the case may be, he's got my back. And I can trust that. I'm going to just put my faith in that and sleep easy. You know, you got to learn how to have self-talk.
Mm-hmm.
Positive self-talk. Because that negative self-talk will take you to a place that you didn't even sign up for. And we want you to have the abundant life that Jesus promised us. He came so that we may have life and life more abundantly. Stress ain't part of it. It kills, steals, and destroys your abundant life. So let's make a habit of the things that are bothering us, that are eating us alive, that's, you know, making us tick, that's rattling our cage, that's getting our goat. Let's take those things to God through prayer and petition,
mm-hmm,
with thanksgiving. And let's make sure we're thinking on lovely things. And let's, when we're praying, we have to believe that we're receiving. Let's believe the word of God tonight. It says if we take our, you know, prayers and petitions with thanksgiving, then we shall receive peace that surpasses understanding. It's there for the taking. It's like if you were to go to the store and go to the shelf and grab you five cans of peace. It's yours. Believe that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, there's a lot of callers. We want to get to everybody, so maybe we could do like we do, like Randy does on Wednesday, like take names and just pray over people. What do you think? So I'm going to let you lead that.
Just answer the calls. We just go through them right over.
Okay.
Ain't got no big day tonight. But there you go.
There you go. I'm going to let you go ahead.
You be in charge of that tonight. Thank you.
Here you are.
Just set up right there.
All right. Well, you call it the number so I can't see.
You can't see? No,
uh-uh.
It will turn it to a
way. There you go. Okay, first caller is 832-312.
Hello, this is Elaine in PA.
Hey, Elaine, how are you tonight?
Oh, good. Thank you for the word spoken tonight. I receive it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So you got your blessing, because I know that I needed to hear this word tonight.
Absolutely.
It was hitting. I felt it.
Yeah, I needed that that word, that reminder. You know, it doesn't matter how long we've been walking in with the Lord. You know, we all need to be ministered to, and we all need to be reminded of what to do, because that's just part of our walk, part of our humanity. We never get to the point where we just know so much that we are always doing what we know. Sometimes we need to be reminded, like, hey, this is what you need to do in this moment,
mm-hmm,
so that you don't, yeah, you know, drown under the pressure or under the stress, because it can happen. It can happen, and we, you know, iron sharpens iron. I just thank God that I thank God for PGN, the PGN family, because we all love on one another. We're always praying for one another and making sure that we stay on point and stay where we,
yeah,
need to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let's pray for you, Elaine. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Elaine, Father God. And that's what I'm seeing for you, Elaine, is that God is using you to keep people on point, because some people are just chiseled down and they're just worn out. They're worn out from the day-to-day life. They're worn out for what's going on in our world. A lot of people are really confused right now. A lot of people, you know, there's always something. You know, there's always something going on. Like, you know, you watch the news right now, they're talking about this Delta variant, right, of of COVID. They're talking about the collapse in Florida of the apartment. They're talking about all these things that's going on. So people are constantly bombarded with all these things, these tragic events and, you know, things in the news. Sometimes people don't know what to believe. Sometimes they do know what to believe. But then they, on top of that, they're dealing with their day-to-day lives. And it's trying to chop in at people, chop, 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 chiseling down people. And some people have gotten dull, and God is going to use you to sharpen people. You know, just like how when you get a really good knife set and it comes with that piece where you can sharpen your blade and it'd be good as new.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sorry, good knife set, not those cheapy ones that just have it there for looks, but good knife sets. Like, you sharpen that thing and it's like you cut a piece of paper on it. And that's how God is using you to sharpen people, because a lot of people need to be sharpened right now. You know, you can't take a dull blade in a fight. You know, the enemy will laugh. Like, what are you going to do with that thing? It's like, can't cut, can't do anything. You know, but God is going to use you to sharpen people so that they are effective in the battles, that they're effective. So, Lord, we just thank you right now for Elaine. And Lord, as she sharpens people, send people to sharpen her, Lord Jesus. Send people to refresh her. Send people to pour into her. Send people to minister to her and to confirm things so that she feels like she's got people with her. She doesn't feel alone in things, that she feels like there's people who are for her, that love you, and that are there for her. Like how David had his mighty men. Send mighty men and women to be there for her in the fight, in the battle, that will uplift her.
Yeah.
And that will minister to her and pour into her. And we just thank you for that. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Lord, we thank you again for Elaine, Father God. We just thank you for the push. I see God pushing you, giving you the nudge that's needed to persevere, to endure. Thickening your skin more. I see your speech not getting sharp, but like your speech is more like you're gonna be quick. The quicker you are to hear, the quicker you're gonna be able to speak. You know, God is gonna give you things to say very quickly. And people come to you with questions and that you normally wouldn't have the answer to, but the Holy Spirit will give you the answer. The Holy Spirit is going to use you to utter it out, just to say it without hesitation. And it's going to help change some lives,
mm-hmm.
a whole lot of lives. And so it'll seem kind of daunting at first, I believe, you know, far as when the pressure arrives, and sometimes you may think that you're feeling pressure by the enemy, but you're feeling the pressure of the Holy Spirit, like overriding your conscious mind, you know, like what the things that you would think and how you would respond to things. Like, that pressure is going to come from when the Holy Spirit just speaks for you, through you,
mm-hmm.
boom. And it just says, boom. And you be like, whew. You know, you hear Rand, I don't know where that came from. But, you know, that's how it's going to be. But it's a good thing for you, because God truly is going to use you more. And making you more available so people can start hearing the truth,
mm-hmm.
you know, the real truth and the undeniable truth. And that's what I see God doing with you, Elaine. That's what I have for you.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you both. God bless you.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. You got anything you want to share or want us to hook up with you on?
No, just the I know other people in line. I just wanted to say that the scriptures that the Lord was showing me today was about the enduring. You got to endure till the end.
And, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and that pressure of the Holy Spirit, it the pressure is a diamond is created with a coal of fire through pressure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so he's been teaching me about pressure, a whole big teaching on pressure. So I understood that whenever you were saying it, you were speaking it, that pressure of the Holy Spirit that creates the diamonds, the gemstones that we are to be. But we have to endure the pressure. There's a timing that goes along with the pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Each
yeah.
person, according to their assignment, their ministry, it requires, all of us require pressure to get to where we're going through the Holy Spirit, but each ministry, each one of our callings will require a different timing, a different amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
So the timing plus the pressure propels us into our destiny. But we have to endure the pressure for the amount of time that is required. Otherwise,
yeah.
the gemstone isn't created. The diamond isn't created.
No.
He's been teaching me that about the pressure of the Holy Spirit. That's that trials and tribulations and tests. Yeah, you got to endure. Person has a different time, amount of time to get to where, you know, because we're all in the body of Christ. We're all members of the body of Christ, but one's an arm, one's a hand, one's a foot, one's a toe.
Mm-hmm.
Each requires a different amount of time of training and pressure and all that to get us to where we need to be. So cool. Someone, it's the same thing as in a normal, everyday, natural job. Someone that is someone that maybe, I just say, scrubs floors.
Mm-hmm.
They don't require the training that a doctor requires.
Right.
There's a different amount of time and a different amount of training in order to get to where a doctor has to get.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same and in the spirit realm.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever assignment we have, some of us have different assignments, and that pressure gets us there, that pressure of the Holy Spirit. But it's the timing that has to go along with the pressure. You have to endure till the end.
Mm.
You have to endure the tests and the trials and the tribulations. But I'm going to get out of the way. I know other people are in line, and thank you so much. God bless you both, and you both have a wonderful evening.
Wow, thank you. Like,
thank
that was
you.
A good word.
Yes, that was
Amen.
Awesome.
Amen. Thank
Amen.
You.
Wow. When I thought about that, when she just had that pressure, it's kind of like even when you're giving birth, like for women, we feel this pressure,
mm-hmm.
you know, before we give birth, and that process can be, you know, it could be grueling, but when you endure that pressure, what you get, you know, makes it all worth it. So
mm-hmm.
we have to, as believers, be willing to endure that pressure, the pressure of the will of God and the calling on our lives. So that we could birth his plans. We could birth his purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Next caller is 336-354.
Hey, Mama Ruth.
Ruth from North Carolina.
Hey, we haven't talked
North
to you in a little while.
I'm blessed as always. You all?
No, wonderful. Good to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thanks for the word, and even the sister just got off. You know, the way she was explaining that about the pressure thing, because this is what I've been trying to tell people. Everybody calls is different.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody test trial, how you ever get to where you got to go is different.
Mm-hmm.
People need to learn that and try to draw people into you know, whatever God can call them to. So I thank God for the word. I really do. Yeah, I thank God for the word.
Yes.
So I won't try to keep running my mouth. Well, y'all know I'd be full of it all the time, you know, but I'm very sensitive also.
Wow.
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you for Mama Ruth, Father God. We just thank you for the flight, for the taking flight. Like I see you taking flight, like God really moving your voice, moving your ministry to where, like where you travel. Like we could travel nowadays without ever leaving where we are at. And we've seen that more, you know, in the pandemic where everybody's using, you know, Teams calls or Zoom, or there's all these different ways that people are connecting and traveling in a sense to where they're able to reach people in other countries, reach people in other states, wherever, but we're able to travel. And I see God, I see your voice taking flight.
Mm-hmm.
You're traveling where you're going to be. People are going to know you in other states. People are going to know you in other countries, you know, and you don't even have to physically go to the countries or go to other states, but God's going to use your voice. Your voice is going to expand your territory and expand your reach to where people can hear what you have to say in other regions, countries, you know, nations where God's going to use you to take flight. So, Lord, we just thank you for that, Father God. Just give her the steps, order her steps, Lord, to do the work that's needed so that other people can experience her without her ever having even go. And we just thank you in advance for the words that you have placed in her. We thank you for the anointing on her life. We thank you for the people who will be set free, for the people who will be taught, the people who will be strengthened from hearing her voice and being a part of her ministry. And let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Yes.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you. We thank you for Mama Ruth. Lord, we just thank you for, like, I see, like, the desperation, like the hunger, a desperate hunger, a desperate cry. You know, like John, when Jesus came on the scene, says he was one crying out in the wilderness, prepare me the way of the Lord, and through that cry was a desperation for people to hear what was to come. Like the answer to everything is on the way. You know, the answer to everything is on the way. And I see God really, really amping up that desperate cry for people to really hear. And not only for the non-believer to hear, but for the so-called believer to get entangled, to come out of the entanglement of confusion that the enemy brings in, you know, as far as pride, you know, pride comes right before the fall. And just that leaders, people in leadership positions are leading properly, are using their platforms properly. Because go online, you see a lot of these things, a lot of funny people names, they call themselves influencers. Influencers. And so there's nothing wrong with being an influencer, but how are you influencing? How are you influencing? You know, there's nothing wrong with being an influencer. But are you influencing for good, or are you influencing for evil, for righteousness or unrighteousness? What are you influencing? And so I definitely see that cry, that cry for people to hear. Get yourself together. Answer. This is the answer. You're talking about you hoping and you wondering and you wish, you know. I want to know, you know. But the answer is right here. You know. You keep directing people to Jesus. You know.
Amen.
No matter what, because they don't see it now doesn't mean that they won't ever see it. But they can't say that the answer hadn't come. They just didn't choose it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like taking a test and you got multiple choices. The answer is in the answer block. But you got to choose which one is the right one.
Amen.
You got to choose which one is the right one. And so it goes from studying and not studying. See, when you study, the answers are easy to identify. But when you don't study, you got to think, okay, let me listen to the question that's being asked, and then let me listen to the answers that's being given. And what they're calling an educated guess based on the makeup of the question and the answer. You got some people that make good educated guesses, but they still don't know the material. And so you got a lot of people that still saying good things that come from scripture, but it's really not in their heart. They don't really know the material.
Amen.
They don't really know the material. They just, like, know the answers. I know a lot of people took tests because they knew the answers before the test, but they don't really know nothing about the class. But they got the answers. You know? And so, but God is amplifying that cry in you for people to really see Jesus with full sincerity, and to seek him in full humility, because you see what's going on in the world, and you look at the state of the church, and you're like, okay, I'm not really hearing the church saying anything. Not hearing them saying anything. Then you have to ask yourself, okay, God, have you given it to me to say? You know, who am I expected to say it when you've given it to me? Maybe I'm the one.
Right.
Maybe I'm the one. I'm looking for other people to be doing what God can call me to do. I'm looking for other people to be saying what God has called me to say. So I really see God putting things in its place.
Thank you.
And really making things very vividly clear. It's gonna be very vivid and clear. It's there it is. It can't be nothing else but this right here. I see you taking that step and producing what God has for you to produce. And that's what I'm saying. That's what I got
Thank
for you.
Jesus. So true. Everything y'all saying is true. God reads my mail. He know how I feeling now, but telling the Lord, you know, because I just really don't a lot of time to understand why these people are kicking, you know, kicking dust and things, think that I don't understand what they're going through and whatever, but then I'm not going to deviate from the word, and I'm not going to get in that ditch and wallow with you either,
right,
to pull you out, and and I have asked the Lord too, do they see what I'm seeing? I'm seeing the state of the body of Christ and what they're not doing, and they think they are doing, you know. So on what both of you said, I know the cry has become deep, and God has to begin. Now, because I ask God, where are the hungry people that really want for you to put in me? But I don't have time to play games. I don't have time to play church. I don't have time to pamper you or pet you. Because I'm telling you the truth. You question me, and, you know, like, well, you don't get it. You don't understand. And did it, and trying to instruct me in the work he don't call me out to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to be trained for particular jobs, you know, particular things, but just like the sister saying, even River, about, you know, about the parts of the body of Christ, the toe, and this, that, and the other. And God gave me the example to tell people, just like in building a house. Everybody's not there to put a roof over the house. You got plumbers, you got electricians, you got all these in the body.
Uh-huh.
You don't have the same, everybody's not trained for the same position.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I thank God for the word, but I'm not going to try to keep on, because there's a whole lot I can talk on that. I'm just going to ask y'all to lift Ayana up, because I want to see God just keep her grounded. Keep her grounded. So just ask y'all, you know, the Lord lead you to pray for her. Keep her grounded.
Okay. Well, we thank you right now for Ayana, Father God. We thank you for the grounding. We thank you for the firm planted feet.
Yeah.
Firmly, Father God, firmly planted feet. And Father God, when she would try to even step into a place, into a mentality, into a stronghold, let her feel the slip. Let her not even have a false sense of stability or a false sense of peace. Let her feel it, where she feels like she's slipping. And so she knows that taking that step will inevitably lead to a fall. And mm-hmm. and nobody falls wants to. Nope, whether it be in the natural or in life, we don't want to fall. And we always try to catch ourselves when we fall. So, Lord, when she even attempts to take a step that's not firm, let her feel it so that she catches herself.
Mm-hmm.
And let her know that she has the ability to catch herself, because she is in your hands. So it gives you glory, honor, and praise. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for that. One other thing, Father, that y'all go, 3 weeks ago, so Terrence was saying the Lord was freeing me up so I can do the work that he's doing, and I see God is doing that. So I can walk into what he has called me to walk in. And to reach the people that he have assigned to me. Because people don't understand that God has assigned different people to certain people.
Mm-hmm.
To bring them out. You're not assigned to everybody. You're not assigned to walk into everybody that's just calling. Or everybody. You don't have any minister for yourself. So I see the Lord is really doing that for me. Mm-hmm. So I can do exactly what he has assigned me to do. You know, like I told people, I've always known for a long time what my calling was, what he assigned me to do. I've always known, but sometimes he thought I didn't know. You know, but I do. I do know, and sometimes I do know this too. You can explain to some Christians or whatever you want to call them, in particular, you know, calling God to call you the way he had you done. You really can't. Because a lot of them, it's not there, you know.
Yeah.
So I thank God for him walking me into the fullness of my calling. So I stand before him, not only he goes to well done my good and faithful servant, but the rewards that he got because of being in my calling, you know, that I receive a reward. Because like I said, if you don't walk into your calling, you can forget about the rewards.
Mm-hmm.
you can hang that up. I don't care what you've done on the earth, but if it wasn't what he called you to do, you're not getting it.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to allow the hope to mold us and shape us and make us, you know, for what he has called us to do. And like I told tell people, when he told me he was transforming me as a vessel for the master to use, and I'm not transformed to use like people want me to use them, and that's what it gets bit out of shape with. the way they wanted me to be, or how, because a lot of times what I get, people want me to pray with them and be, you know, be that delivered, but they want to tell me how. Now, you can't tell me how, because if you've already known, you'll be delivered.
Right?
You'll be delivered. So you don't go to the doctor and tell him how to doctor you when he had the training. You don't do that. But anyway, but bless y'all. Let y'all go to the rest of them, and speak the blessings of God upon you over and over and over and over and over and over. For whatever the devil thinks he's doing, he's already defeated.
Yeah.
Amen. He's already defeated. But, all right, then. Bless y'all. Love y'all.
We love
God bless you, too. Thanks, Mama.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually the first one she got.
Oh, it dropped?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, shalom, shalom. Mama Ruth, shalom. I hope she's still listening. Elaine, shalom. Y'all, TNT, thank you for that message tonight, y'all. Oh. And I want to just, I'm not going to talk, but I just want to say this. Yes, please do the show on stress. And then also reach out to Tanya from Florida, Donald's wife, because prophets deal with stress. Let's put it on the table. Let's deal with it. Let's talk about it.
Right.
Prophet Randy, we've been talking about the physical side of things when you're eating sugar and the moon cycle. And let's talk about the way God has wired our bodies and how we do respond to stress. You know, we have stress responses. We respond to stress because we are sensitive. So we're
mm-hmm.
going to feel that, we feel things more intensified. And let me tell you something. I know that prophets deal with stress, depression, emotional, and mental upset when we're not healed, when we're not fully we haven't gone through the process yet. We're not matured. We didn't learn how to work with the master to master our gifts and calling, because we are under attack. And I'm so thankful for that message tonight, Tanisha, because it's true. You know, I noticed that with me, it's not so much the mental anymore. So the enemy attacked my body with the stress stuff. I understand, like, because when you were talking about the panic attacks and things like that, I got delivered from that years and years ago. Let me tell you, last year it started popping up. Like, my heart was racing. Like, I was just like, yo, what's up? Like, I was even, like, Googling, you know, for the heart stuff. And it's true. It's stress, and it's spiritual warfare. Sometimes it's witchcraft operating. And but we, like you said, we have authority. We have the remedy. Loved when you were reading that scripture, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Let me tell you, I know that scripture. We all know that scripture. But when you were reading that scripture, I think it was the Amplified, it was hitting my spirit, man. It was healing me and reminding me, like you said. We need reminders. So, like, we could teach classes, right? But then we need reminders at the same time. So I'm so thankful and grateful for the Holy Spirit working in you guys, through you guys. And iron sharpens iron, right? And we need to be supporting one another. We need to be truthful and transparent. And, you know, like the saying goes, tell the truth, shame the devil. So I do appreciate y'all talking about that tonight. The other week, like I said, Tanya, Donald's wife from Florida, I was like, oh, I was trying to text Prophet Randy, but, like, my phone situation. But I was feeling what she was saying, and I wanted to, like, tell her, listen, Ma, most of us dealt with that. We can really relate to what you're feeling. I went down the medication route and all that. None of that works. Hey, if you need it, like, to take the edge off or whatever, go ahead, because God can use anything. But when I say it doesn't work, it's not the final remedy. It's not the final healing. You need to get deliverance, inner healing, and then renew the mind. Like, you can't just get deliverance and inner healing and then not renew the mind, because the enemy stands on strongholds, false mentalities, and things that we've dealt with in our growing up, our experiencing, the conditioning.
all that, our bloodline, like we've been learning a lot, and I so agree because that's the tip that I'm on, the bloodline issues. And then, you know, our environment and, like, just regular flesh. Hello, like, we have our soul realm. Our soul is layered. So thank you for teaching on that tonight. Thank you, Miss Elaine, for Sister Elaine, for speaking on that with depression and anxiety. That was another reminder. Thank you, because the Lord showed me that some years ago. And I just needed those reminders. Mama Ruth, I love you. I miss you. Oh, I just love you, Mama Ruth. So we'll connect soon. But thank you, guys. That's all I have to say. Blessings. Shalom.
Amen. Thank you, Lisa. Definitely we'll do that teaching on stress. Like you said, even with topics, we have a unique set of things that we have to deal with. There's a book called The Prophet's Manual by John Eckhart, I believe is the name of the author.
Yep.
I'll have to find the book. Amazing book.
Yep.
You know, it talks about some of the things that people that are called for prophecy are, you know, we deal with. Like we deal with loneliness. You know, we deal with depression. We deal with not being understood. We deal with anxiety.
Yeah.
We deal with feeling like we're frauds when things don't go the way that we decided it was going to go. There's so many things that come along with that calling that is just unique to the call. And I remember before, you know, being a new believer and God telling me I was a prophet, I didn't know what a prophet was. The only prophet I'd ever heard of was Nostradamus. I didn't know what, you know, in the biblical sense, what a prophet was. And so I remember feeling all these things, and I remember just feeling very alone because I'm like, why I got to be the weirdo who goes around telling people what the Lord said. I mean, I really felt like a complete weirdo or some whack job. And I remember praying about it, and God sent me a mentor who was a prophet. And some of the things that I had experienced, she had been in church her whole life. You know, she was born with a Bible in her hand. And so I knew then that it wasn't just because I was new in my faith. It was because of the call that God had on my life. And slowly but surely, God started to bring other prophets into my line of vision, and I got to see how other prophets operated, and I got to have an understanding of some of the unique challenges that come along with prophecy. But definitely we'll teach on the stress thing, because it is something that, you know, anxiety and all that is something that we deal with, and we have to know how to. Yeah, depression, you know, that comes along. Look at Elijah. He was so depressed. He ran away. And this man, he had just upstaged all of the false prophets of Baal. And instead of rejoicing and doing the Toyota kick in the air, the man got depressed and ran off. You know, so it's like there's just things that come along with it that we have to know that we're not crazy. Because with prophets, that's what the enemy is always trying to use, always trying to tell us that we're crazy. You know, always trying to tell us that we're schizophrenic and all these other things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
bipolar.
Not the case. Yeah,
so
not that you're hearing God. You've got some sort of mental, you know what I mean? And it's not. That's not the case. So we have to talk about it so that we, you know, people feel better when they know that they're not the only one, because the enemy always will try to isolate you and make you think it's just you and make you afraid to say something because you're afraid that nobody's going to relate because it's just you. And then you're afraid if you say something and nobody relate that you're going to, it's going to reinforce those scary thoughts that you've been having. But we have to expose the enemy so that we're set free, because the truth is what sets us free. So yeah, that's something I definitely plan to do in the near future, because it does need to be talked about and exposed, and people need to have hope, because like you said, God delivered me from that years ago as well, you know. But when I am stressed, I do feel it, but instead of having the same reaction, because when people who have had panic disorder, they know that it kicks a vicious cycle. You have one panic attack and then you keep having them, you know, before you have that deliverance. But now if I feel it coming on, instead of going into that vicious cycle, I look at it now as an indication, like, okay, I'm really stressed out. I thought I was handling things good, but obviously I'm subconsciously hoarding stress.
Subconsciously
get this out so that, you know, I can get back to normal. So now I just look at it like my body's giving me an indication of what's going on, you know, in my mentor, in my spirit, something I'm carrying that I don't need to be carrying. So now
that's it.
The enemy meant for evil, God has now used it for my good, because now
come
I
on,
know
girl.
when there's something going on subconsciously, because sometimes that subconscious realm could take you out. You don't even know it because you don't think about it. In the
thank
subconscious
God he lets it react right in our body. Oh. Thank God for that. It's like the indicator then. So it causes us to check, to do an evaluation and
right.
You know, like an analyzation. I get introspective. You know what I'm saying? I start out, though. Mm-hmm. I'm a questionista. I go to Holy Spirit with everything. I'm like, oh, what's up? What's this? You know, and he lets us know. And when you were reading that scripture, oh, my goodness. Girl, you know, I read that scripture. That's my scripture. That's our scripture. We quote it. We speak it. But it was something about when you were declaring that over us. It was like, you know, the word is it heals us. The word is sharper than a two-edged sword. So, man, I'm renewed over that message tonight, Tanisha. Like, I really am thankful for it. And then also, like, the endurance thing that Sister Elaine was saying. But I want you to point out two things when you do talk about it. Remember Prophet Randy was talking about the sugar and all that, you know, how we crash? That is so true.
Yep.
The Lord taught me, I would like you to, when you guys do this show, the Lord was teaching me about the central nervous system, the endocrine system, like you were talking about cortisol. I'm one of them with the pot belly, yo. I need to get rid of it. It's the hormones. And also there's something called the enteric system, which is your gut, and that's your brain, your second brain. So when you do preach and teach on it, thank you for doing that. And then also incorporate the biophysical things in there, if you know, as the Lord leads. So thank you so much. Thank you so much, y'all. Thank you.
You're welcome. Let's pray for you, Lisa. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for Lisa, Lord. We thank you for the refreshing. We thank you, Father God, for the watering. We thank you that you're watering her and making her very strong, like a strong plant. You know, at least I heard a woman of God say that we're basically plants with complicated emotions. And it just stuck to me. And I'm like, that makes sense that God would make us out of the earth and then give us dominion in the earth. Like we're like the keepers of the earth, but we're part of the earth too. Mm-hmm. And it's so true, because when you study plants and you study gardening and all that kind of stuff, we're very similar. Even when you look at parts of our bodies, like our lungs and you know, the little bronchi and all that kind of stuff, it resembles plants. And a lot of the times the plant that it resembles is the plant that helps to fix that part of the body. God is just so amazing. So I see you being watered, like God making you like a strong plant. You know, all plants aren't created equal. Some plants are very delicate. Some plants are very strong. You know, you can mow over them, you can trample on them, all that, and they just bounce back. You know, some plants are very strong. And I know about gardening and plants because, I mean, my father, when I was growing up, had a landscaping business, and that's something that my sister and I did in the summers to earn our summer money. And I just love how God used something from childhood to teach me more about his word. But I see God refreshing you and constantly watering you so that you are a strong plant, which means that you're a strong force in the earth. So Lord, we just thank you for the refreshment, Father God. In turn, use her to refresh others. Mm-hmm. We all need one another, especially when we've been there, you know. Part of our testimony is just telling somebody I've been there and giving them hope to know that if I've been where you've been and now I'm beyond that, that there's hope for you to get beyond where you're at. And so I see God using you to refresh people, but you're going to always be refreshed. God is always going to refresh you, you know, and we need that. One of the things that I always say about the human brain, it's like a computer. You know, when your computer gets a trip, and what do they tell you to do? Tech support, they tell you to refresh your computer. I know, I used to do tech support. That's one of the first things I'll tell people to do. The computer's frozen. I'm like, refresh it. You know, either hit the little refresh button on the actual internet browser or do a restart, reboot, turn it off, turn it back on, but you have to refresh it. And so refreshment is good, not only just I'm seeing it in the sense of like a plant, and then I'm also seeing it like a sense of a computer in the brain realm. God is always going to refresh you. So, Lord, we just thank you for that. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for Lisa tonight, Father God. We just thank you for the roles, recognizing the roles that are necessary here in the earth. the value of the roles versus like the individuals that, that's in that role. Because sometimes, you know, it's like you may not even like the person that's in this particular role in your life, but you respect the role, you know. And I see people giving you like your respect because of the role that you play in their lives. They may not understand exactly how you flow or different things, but they have respect for you because you stay steady,
mm-hmm.
you stay consistent, you stay current. You know, you're not sugarcoating anything. It is just the real you. It's just who you are. And don't make excuses for it, you know, and don't compromise, you know, don't compromise. Just keep flowing the way that you know to flow. Because when you release people unto the Lord, now you just allowing God to operate in their lives. Cause you know, we want to help. We as believers, we want to help and we want to change. We want to help now. We want you to get where I am right now. But we often forget that where we are right now, it took us time to get to where we are, you know. And so we have to allow people that time and that opportunity to grow and get there as well. And so when God reveals things to you, pray about it. And just leave it with him. Just leave it with him and let him do the work. And live your life knowing that what you have given to him is already done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you put that cake in the oven, you ain't sitting there watching the oven. You waiting on that smell. Yeah, you be like, oh yeah, it's smelling good right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost about that time. Because like when you've been baking for a while, you operate differently in the kitchen.
That's true.
You know, new people in starting up and learning how to bake, they stove watching. Stove watching. But when you've been doing it for a while, you put it in, you ain't even got a timer set. You know you have a subconscious clock going on. It just knows that it's about that time. I give it a few more minutes. Okay, what's a few more minutes? Just a few more minutes. You know, I know when to go in there and take it out. I know when it's ready. Well, how do you know it's ready? I just know. Because I've done this before.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I see it with you, you know, in your walk. You've done this before, Lisa. This is what you do. You know what God can do. And when you know what God can do, you act like it. You live like it. You move like it. You expect it because you know. You don't act like an amateur in this world. You ain't no amateur chef. You're not an amateur believer. You've seen God come through. But now you want him to come through on something else. And he will. But you treat it just like everything else. Give it, the process doesn't change. Give it to him. Let him do it. Give it to him. Walk away. Just give it to him. Whatever it is. Because you're pro at this. You're pro at this. Is there still growth? Yes. We all got to continue to grow. But just because you're a pro don't mean you stop growing. Because it's levels in the pros. You look at a professional basketball team. All those guys are professionals. But it's still levels to their talent out there on them courts too.
Everybody's not a LeBron James.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody's still a pro. All them cats on them teams know how to play basketball. I can guarantee you that. But it's levels. That's why you got starters. That's why you got folks come off the bench. Everybody has a contribution based on their level. And you're definitely a star player. And we just come against the discouragement. In Jesus' name, we come against any type of fears right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I just pray that you fill Lisa's heart with your peace.
Mm-hmm.
You give her that peace. You give her that warmth and that comfort to just breathe, just release and relax in Jesus' name. We thank you for it being done, amen. That's what I got.
Amen.
Woo-wee! Oh, my goodness. I am so glad I had it on mute. I was talking the whole time. And I don't remember half what I said, but I wanted to tell you all that. But, you know, it was done in the spirit. So, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. I do love plants. It's all, you spoke from the beginning, like usual, from the beginning to the end, in between, the whole thing was from God. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you all for being the vessels. I appreciate y'all. Everything was just on point, and thank you because, you know, it's just, you know, it's ministry. And I'm so thankful that God healed y'all tonight, especially you, Tanisha. I mean, with the you know, the stomach ache, you know, I feel you on that one, you know. And Brother Terrence. Thank you, sir. Thank you. And I just wanted to ask you about your uncle's passing in the celebration of life. I'm glad you got back safe. Night when y'all was talking, Tanisha, you were saying the same thing that Prophet Randy was saying, and I knew that y'all didn't talk, and I was just like so amazed. And the thing is, when you were preaching, the phone kept cutting off, and then I got another call from England, which is another story, a testimony that for another time. But what I caught was like, oh my goodness, when I called back in for Prophet Randy, you were talking about understanding wrong. And I was just so tickled and joyful over that, because I know y'all are doing, you know, going through your stuff and doing your stuff, and Prophet Randy has shared some things about y'all, and I was just like, wow, this is amazing how everything is falling in line. I know y'all are battling. I know y'all are on the front lines, and I appreciate y'all. All of y'all. And I just thank God for this ministry and for everyone who's connected to it. All right, blessings, everybody, because I have so much to say. So I'm going to just say shalom and good night and thank you and blessings.
Thank you, Lisa. We love you. God bless you.
Wow, that's good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
May the Lord bless you again. May the Lord bless you again. We are praying.
Next one is 605-390.
May the Lord
bless you.
You there,
605-390? Hello? 605,
I'm still asleep.
I don't know, it's getting kind of late.
605.
Okay, we'll come back to you, hopefully. You're getting some good sleep in the Lord. Got some peace. Next caller is 903-918.
Hello, this is Michelle.
Hey, Michelle, how are you?
I'm good. How are y'all?
Great.
We're doing good. Let's pray for you, Michelle. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now for Michelle. We thank you for the protection realm. Thank you, Lord, for letting her know that no weapon formed against her, and for letting her know, like, I see God teaching you about the realm of, like, witchcraft, and giving you that understanding that it doesn't work against you. I remember one time back in the day of of like chat rooms. They used to be really popular, chat rooms and online forums. And I would be involved in different ones, like hair care ones and all that kind of stuff. And they would have these little subgroups. And sometimes the subgroups were like, they would call them like religion and spirituality and that kind of thing. And I remember being in the spirituality group, and I would, you know, talk about the Lord. And this pack of witches were on the group, and they were saying they didn't believe that kind of thing. And I'm like, well, you know, that's pretty much on you, but Jesus is real. And we had dialogue about what they believed, and me telling them that I didn't believe that what they believed was true, and inviting them to, you know, to come over into Christ, and they didn't like that. And they were saying, you know, you think your God is so real, blah, 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 and he's not, he's fake, he's a dead God, yada, yada, yada. And I didn't get into a big debate. But I remember later that night feeling like somebody was trying to put a spell on me. It was so weird. It was a very bizarre feeling, but feeling like I had almost like this invisible shield. And so I was like, Lord, what am I experiencing? And he's like, you're experiencing, you know, those witches trying to cast a spell on you, but it doesn't work, you know, because of who you are. And I was like, wow, you know. And so I remember maybe several months later befriending a lady off of that same board, and her telling me, she's like, yeah, I remember. She's like, remember that time you was having that dialogue with, you know, this member and that member? She's like, yeah, they told me that they were conspiring to, like, put spells on you and all this kind of stuff to like kind of teach you a lesson that, you know, that Jesus wasn't real and God wasn't real and that kind of thing. And I was like, wow, you know, it was confirmation of what I had felt in the spirit. And I see God using you to teach people, but first giving you a full understanding of that realm, because that realm is a real realm, right? Witchcraft is real. People try to pretend like it's not, but it is. It's like when Elijah went against the false prophets of Baal, and against Jezebel. Jezebel had some power, but ultimately that showdown proved that God is the mighty God. He is all powerful. And so that witchcraft realm has power, but it doesn't have power over believers. And God is going to use you to want to experience that yourself and to teach on that. Because what I saw in the spirit was like these little, it looked like little, one of those dolls that they stick pins in, little voodoo dolls. It's like I saw these little voodoo dolls walking, and they were so tiny, like little tiny voodoo dolls. And they were trying to like chase you, and you were basically like kicking them out the way and stepping on them, that kind of thing. I mean, they don't have any power, but God's going to teach you about that. Like, I've always seen things with you with the whole spiritual warfare realm, which is a realm a lot of people don't want to touch. People, it scares people, but people need to know about it because it's a real realm. And if we can't just stick our head in the sand, we have to have knowledge of it. I remember not really wanting to know about it myself, but then understanding the impact of it. I remember the woman who was mentoring me, she went over to Uganda, and while she was gone one day, I was in the living room minding my business watching TV, and I saw this demon that looked like it was part fish. It was so ugly. It had this turned down mouth, and her name was in its mouth. And it was like going like a bullet so fast. And I remember just praying against it. And I learned later she was in a horrific car accident that, because we were comparing like the time compared, you know, the time here in the States compared to the time in Uganda, and come to find out the time, because I didn't know at first. And I'm like, well, I was watching this program. So I pulled it up to see what time that program was on. I'm like, okay, it had to be this time. And so we were comparing times and with the time difference, come to find out that the time that I saw that ugly demon with her name in its mouth was right around the same time that she had gotten to that accident. And miraculously, thank God, nobody was hurt, but she showed me pictures. I still have them somewhere on a disc because she had mailed them to me. So, you know, this is a while back. This is before like camera phones and all that kind of stuff are very popular, but it was horrible. If you were to see the pictures, you wouldn't believe anybody survived that accident. And so it made me more receptive to understanding that realm. That demonic realm, that spiritual warfare realm, because I saw it God allowed me to see it in the spirit, and I immediately just started praying against it. I didn't even know what I was seeing. I just knew that it looked evil and ugly, and it was going at lightning speed like a bullet. Her name was in its mouth. That I remember. And so, you know, God is going to teach you the importance of this and give you the words to teach other people the importance of understanding spiritual warfare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because what would have happened if I would not have prayed? I don't know. You know, I shudder to think. But at that moment, I was available. God used me to pray against it and to teach me something. And so God is going to really teach you about that whole witchcraft realm and how as believers, it doesn't have any power over us. It doesn't have effect over us.
No.
You know, people are afraid of it, though. You know, somebody tells somebody, oh, I'm going to put some voodoo on you. They get terrified, you know, because, you know, it does have power, but it doesn't have ultimate power. So, Lord, we just thank you for that. Teaching Michelle that, Father God, and using her to teach others about spiritual warfare and the demonic realm, and that we can't just stick our head in the sand. We have to be ready to engage in battle, because it's a battle that's already won, but we have to engage. We have to do our part. So let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for Michelle tonight, Father God. We just thank you for I just feel like your nostrils opening, your nostrils opening up to be able to breathe properly. I know out here in Texas, you know, many of us have allergies.
Oh, my gosh.
You're not from Texas and you move out here, allergies flare up and your nasal passage is inflamed and swollen, contracts a normal airflow, but I see God like opening it up to where you can breathe properly. And when your body can get the right amount of oxygen in it, it's more relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
It can do more things. You can get more out of your body with the proper amount of oxygen, and God is giving, I just see like giving you a fresh breath to breathe, so that you can be relaxed and so that you can actually do more, you can go longer.
Mm-hmm.
you can endure it, you can get through it. I really see God doing that for you, and bringing clarity to your mind, and making things clear, and giving you a level of understanding of things, so you won't try to like spend so much time trying to figure it all out, you know. But God is going to show you things, but give you a level of understanding. It's like he's going to brief you about certain things. You know, he ain't going to tell you like everything that's going to happen, but he's going to brief you, you know, on why you need to do this or why this might be going on and what you need to do during those particular moments. But I definitely see God doing that for you. Thank God for you being able to breathe and being and like the breath when you're getting the proper amount of oxygen, it helps with your thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, your thoughts, that's what it is. The thoughts get clearer.
That's true.
And so you're able to make better decisions, better choices. Wisdom can reign. When the oxygen is right, when the breath of God is flowing through you at maximum capacity, it works in your favor. And so tonight, I just speak against anybody that's on tonight. I just come against any blockage
mm-hmm.
in your breathing right now in Jesus' name. We come against any swollen nasal ducts, whatever is hindering proper amount of oxygen in our bodies tonight. I just bind it right now in the name of Jesus. And I speak deliverance and freedom and healing in Jesus' name. Amen. That's what I got for you tonight, Michelle.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. It's just so amazing that you said that about witchcraft, with both of them, which y'all just said, because as I was listening on here, I was rebuking witchcraft.
Wow.
Because making it more sensitive to me, you know what I mean? And he's been dealing with me about evil arrows being shot at my head.
Wow.
Oh, my God. I'm blown away.
Wow.
Because he's, like I said, he's making me sensitive to when there's people are trying to do it. You know, at first I didn't really understand what was going on, you know, but now he's giving me a level of understanding concerning it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to quickly take authority over it.
Yes. Yes.
And then about the breathing, my daughter just asked me, why are you breathing like that? When did you start doing that? And I'm like, I'm just trying to breathe. It's like sometimes I can't breathe properly. Oh my God, I just want to scream and holler. You know what I mean? God is so good.
Wow.
How he just brings confirmation to you, because I had went and I had spoken to somebody about the witchcraft, and they said, oh, well, why would somebody want to do that to you? And I said, why? What do you mean? I mean, I don't want them to do it to me. But, you know, it's like they were making it seem like, who are you that somebody would want to do with you? You know what I'm saying? And I was like, okay, you have to know who you can talk to and who you can't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, Lord, I just keep it to myself and do what you tell me to do, you know, on how to take authority over it and move on. But, oh, my gosh, I'm at a loss for words again tonight.
Wow.
Because all of this is just on point.
Wow.
Sweet.
Wow. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. And you got it. I mean, like you said, it's confirmation, because you got it. So it's like it's letting you know that you're hearing God clearly. He's teaching you about that. And like you said, the key was dealing with it quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's what I learned from that experience with my former mentor. You know, when I saw that thing, I immediately started praying. And like I said, we would talk about it a lot. And she'd be like, what would have happened if you wouldn't have prayed right then and there, if you were too busy trying to figure out what was going on or brushed it off or whatever? I was like, I have no idea. I just know what I saw. I'd never seen anything like it before. I didn't even quite know what I was seeing, but I knew something wasn't right. I knew it was something from the enemy, and I knew to pray against it. Mm-hmm. And so, like you said, it's just quickly. All the other stuff, you'll figure it out, but it's like you'll know something ain't right. You'll know that, you know, that something demonic is going on, and you just take authority. Like I say, you take authority, you just pray, and know that what you're doing is effective. Because like I said, when you first said your name, I saw these little voodoo dolls, like these little tiny voodoo dolls, like trying to chase you. But they were so small. And you're like kicking them and stomping them out the way.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the fact that, you know, like you say, you told somebody, they're like, well, who are you to somebody? You a child of God. That's who you are. You know what I'm saying? Like, you ain't got to have your name in lights or be on, you know, Christian programming and have this, you know, studio audience. The fact that you serve God wholeheartedly is enough for the enemy to try to come against you. You know, it's just a lot of believers think like that, though, that they will think that witchcraft and spiritual warfare is not for them, because that's not their lane. That's not what they're dealing with. You're dealing with it every day. You wake up your eyes, you're dealing with spiritual warfare, you know, and thank God for people like you, Michelle, who engage
right
in the battle, you know, because you'll fight battles for you yourself and on behalf of other people. And people don't be realizing that while they're sitting here trying to roast you, like, who are you to you be the one that's fighting on their behalf to make sure that, you know, that little crack that they left open for the enemy doesn't get evaded by demons, you know. So just keep doing what you're doing. You're on the right track. And thank God for your healing, for your breathing, for your lung function, for your oxygen levels. to be proper and in order. Lord, just heal her body, touch her body right now in Jesus' mighty name. And we just thank you for the, instead of the shallow breathing, for the deep breaths, the normal breaths, to where her body is fully oxygenated.
Mm-hmm.
And because our brain, our body, everything needs oxygen, our blood cells, it all needs oxygen. So, Lord, we thank you for the oxygen levels being restored. Let that be done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for praying for me. Praise God.
You're welcome. Amen. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for even sharing what, you know,
yeah,
what's been going on. You know, that we need to hear that too. You know, it confirms that we're hearing God correctly. Sometimes you see things and you have that little twinge where you're like, well, I don't want to say that. But, you know, I've learned to get past that. But, mm-hmm, you know, other people need to hear it too. If you're seeing something and God is calling you to pray or prophesy over people, say what you see, because you don't know what's going on, but God knows what's going on and God knows what that person needs. You know, you needed that confirmation that you're not barking up the wrong tree. You're on the right path with the spiritual warfare, and you needed to know that God is already on the job for the breathing thing. You know, mm-hmm, the enemy always trying to come in and use it. Oh, you're darling, you're this, that, and the other. You ain't got to worry about those demons. You ain't got to worry about who are you. You know, he tries to use whatever to try to get us off course. So when we're all just obedient, we all work together. You know, like we all need each other to just do what we need to do so that we're all on point.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. I'm so glad I got on here tonight because I really needed,
yes,
that confirmation.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes, we thank God for that. So we thank you for calling in.
Thank you. That was good.
Mm-hmm. All right, have a good night, Michelle.
I'm refreshed.
Y'all too, and God bless you.
Thank God
for y'all.
Thank you.
You too.
Amen.
Wow.
That was good. Did you get that one or no?
No, we haven't.
No? Okay. Next caller is 251-342.
That's
Latrice.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, guys. It's Latrice from Alabama.
Hey, Latrice.
Well,
how
well.
Are you tonight?
It is well in spite of.
Amen.
Amen.
And you guys.
Wonderful.
We're doing good. Thank God.
Oh,
we're doing good. God is really flowing tonight. Let's pray for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for Latrice. Lord, we thank you for the books being open. I see books, like books being open. Like even with us as believers, our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. So, you know, once we take on Christ as our Lord and Savior, and, you know, we're good to go. We're written in the Lamb's book. And I see books that are pertaining to earth that your name is already written in the books. So it's like you're already going to get the things that God has for you, that there's things that are you're entitled to, but your name's already written in the book. It's kind of like when you, I guess, you know, people apply for college, like our oldest daughter in the house now, she's at that age where she needs to start applying for colleges.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been really kind of politely staying on top of her with that because senior year's coming up. But you apply and then you get an acceptance letter. And when you have the acceptance letter, that means that you're in the system, registry system and all that kind of stuff so that you can register and get classes and all that kind of stuff. So your letter is kind of like your Willy Wonka golden ticket that you are able now to attend this university. But it's from all appearances, it appears to be in the hands of man that they decide who gets the acceptance letter or not. And what I'm seeing with you, Latrice, is that there's situations that you're in that it appears that other people have the power to determine if you can or cannot partake.
Mm-hmm.
But God is saying your name is already written in the book. So it's almost like you already have your acceptance letter.
Mm-hmm.
The people got to catch up to what God has already said. So you're not worried about the people because they really don't have any power. It's like a false sense of power, like a figurehead, like they don't really have power, but it looks like they do,
mm-hmm,
but they really don't. So God is saying focus on what he said because whatever he said, they're going to have to line up to what he said. So you ain't waiting on them to to tell you. You waiting on them to get the understanding that this is just the way it is, because God has already written your name in the book. So there's already entrances that you are entitled to. There's already land and all these different things. Like, I saw more than one book, so this doesn't just apply to one situation. I saw books with your name written in it. So there, when your name is written in it, there's like somewhere it guaranteed you a spot, like a college house. You get a guaranteed spot. Some was like a deed where you have ownership of land. It's already your land. You know, there was just different scenarios, but there were several books that I saw your name written in. So while it might look like you have to go through the process, the natural process on earth, but you don't have to have the stress, anxiety, or none of that, because you already know it's yours. You know, it already belongs to you, because God has already written your name in the books, if that makes sense. So, Lord, we thank you right now for Latrice, Father God. We thank you that it's already done, that it's already done, and she's just going to watch the natural catch up to what you've already deemed, what you've already given, what you've already ordained, what you've already provided, what you've already set aside. You know, just like with the children of Israel, when they went to the land of milk and honey that the giants were occupying, you said that was their land. It didn't matter who was there. You said it, so it became so. So it doesn't matter what giants are in the way for the things that you've already decreed and declared for Latrice. It's already a done deal. So the natural is going to play out, however, but the outcome is going to be what you've already said. So we just thank you for that. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, thank you for Latrice tonight, Father God. We just thank you for the pursuit of happiness, the actual pursuit. Like, you are after happiness. And like, you're making a deliberate effort to be happy. And it's not like for the things that you have, but it's the mental, the mentality, the perception, the mentality is what's going to bring that happiness to you. You're choosing to be happy. Mm-hmm. You're not relying on things or certain circumstances to be happy. Like, you, happiness is who you are. Happiness is what you are declaring. Mm-hmm. That's your state of mind. Your state of being is to be happy, and you're pursuing that in every day. Every day that you're waking up, you're seeking happiness, because you understand when the Lord says that this is the day that He's made to rejoice and be glad in it. You know, you're taking these days and making a conscious effort to be happy,
mm-hmm.
to be happy. And through that happiness is going to bring peace to you. And that joy is there, which flows throughout other parts of your life. Your money going to be happy. Food will be happy. Your health will be happy. People around you, Latrice, I was feeling some sort of way till I came over here, or till we met up, or till you called, or what have you. You know, and I'm feeling better. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling better now. You know, just know wherever you go, you take happiness with you. Even when you go shopping or whatever, wherever you are, happiness is present. And so you bringing it with you, and people get to experience it. And that's what I see for you, Latrice. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. I thank you, guys. Tanisha and I are on the phone, and books are like everywhere. Our nursing books, this book, that book. We're walking through the process. So we're believing that God has it. And the property, the deed you were talking about in the school, there's a property adjacent to the school that I'm believing God for as well. And
wow.
I'm going to count it done. I'm believing God for the presentation to my family as a project for our family. And about who we were discussing that the devil would have us believe that we do have an overwhelming amount of work to get in, and you know they're changing dates and times, but we believe God, and He's
mm-hmm.
doing what He does, and
mm-hmm.
even bringing happiness. I had the opportunity to be at clinicals this weekend. And it's trying. I have to get up at 3. I have to drive 1 hour and 45 minutes, stay and drive back. And I was going to sleep at the stoplight after I got back in my city. But while I was there, I had the opportunity to pray for several of the residents. And
mm-hmm.
the power fell in the place. And I told
mm-hmm.
them, I'm believing God that when I walk in the building, sickness and disease has to go. And that
yes.
the people are going to get up and be discharged. And I'm just expecting cool signs and wonders to follow. And I'm waiting on the manifestation of those things. Because
yeah.
I know God can do it. And if He did it before, He can do it again, because He's the same God. And
yeah.
I thank you guys for all of your prayers and your time and your investments into the people of God, into everyone. And I decree the blessings of the Lord upon you all again in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. We receive it. We thank you. And we thank God
Amen.
For you.
Likewise says the saint. Have a good one, guys.
You too. Good night.
Wow.
That was awesome. Next caller is 717-217.
Hello. This is Anita from PA.
Hey, Anita. How are you?
Hey.
I'm fine. How are you? I listened to your message, and I was really blessed this evening.
Amen. We're
I'm
very
really
glad.
Blessed this evening. Yes. In Philippians chapter 4, 8, and then 6, I was really blessed. You know,
mm-hmm.
fixing my eyes and my thoughts on what is true, what is right, what is honorable, what is pure and lovely. Mm.
Yeah,
I was blessed to hear the message. I was really blessed and encouraged, actually.
Amen. Well, let's pray for you personally, Anita. Let's see what the Lord has to say. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now for Anita. We thank you that she is a mighty woman of God. We thank you for the covering. I see you covering people. Like, it's almost like I see you in the spirit wearing this long white robe. And it's like a robe of righteousness and protection of the Lord. I see you like literally covering people. Like God is,
mm-hmm.
is has called to cover, to be a covering for people,
mm-hmm.
to cover them with love, to cover them with prayer, to cover them with sound teaching, to cover them with guidance and direction. People need that. You know,
yes,
so many people right now are just, they're just everywhere. Even people in the body of Christ. There's
yeah.
so many people. Body of Christ that's just like just every which way. They're double-minded. And the word of God says a double-minded man is unstable in all their ways. All of them.
Yes, he is.
When a person is double-minded, everything is at stake and everything is at risk for instability. And I see God
mm-hmm.
using to kind of hone people in to get them in line and to
yeah.
cover them, because they need that. People are out of line. There's just
yeah.
truthful. They're out of line. Their beliefs. It's like they've got biblical foundation, but now they're sprinkling in
mm-hmm.
these worldly beliefs,
and they're trying to marry them. That's an equal yoke. You can't marry worldly ideals and worldly, you know, ways with the word of God. It doesn't mix. It's not going to work. It provides instability in those areas, in every area, truth be told, because you got some world and some not. It's like being lukewarm. You be hot or you be cold. And we have so many lukewarm believers, and they don't even realize why they have instability. They can't get their footing, and so they can't figure it out, and the enemy's using it to say, see, God is not for you. See, God is not real. Worship the universe and worship the ancestors. Yeah. Worship all these other things, because here you are believing in Jesus and your life is not steady, but they don't realize that the instability is coming from the double-mindedness, that it's not it's not because God is not able. It's because they are in a prison, in a sense, because they are allowing the world's ideas to infect them. They're allowing the world's ideas to take root in their heart, so now their heart is not it's not capable of maintaining and holding that word, being snatched clean out, because they don't realize that. And God is going to use you to bring soundness back into the body of Christ, to cover them and to love them and to give sound doctrine. Sound doctrine, because this doctrine out there, it's not sound. It don't even line up to the word of God. You're like, where did it even come from? But when you have believers who don't read the word, who just take, you know, whatever the pastor says and let that be the only word, they don't have the ability to identify when something doesn't line up. And so God is going to use you to bring sound doctrine in, sound doctrine, because so many people are not registering and they're not identifying when doctrine is not sound. Mm-hmm. Even among people who have power and fame in the body of Christ, you know, some of the things that I'm hearing them say, I'm like, that don't line up with the word of God. That's not true.
No.
I mean, they're so afraid of being canceled. They're so afraid of people turning against them that they are afraid to speak the truth of what God's word says. And so what they're doing is they're creating another gospel, and they don't even realize that that's what they're doing. They're creating another gospel because they are removing things from the gospel, which the word of God warns us against. Don't add to it. Don't subtract from it. But that's what they're doing. So if you subtract, if you take an ingredient, you take something out, now it's something different. So they're creating a new gospel without even realizing it. And God's going to use you even for those people to cover them so that they can have sound doctrine. We need leaders with sound doctrine who are unafraid of what people are saying, what people think, and people's ability. People can't cancel people. It's just, cancel culture is just super stupid. It is like so dumb. It's a pure smokescreen. No human can cancel another human. It's just ridiculous. But people buy into it, and they're afraid. Yeah. Oh, no, I'll lose followers. Oh, this, that, and the other. Don't be afraid of man. Be afraid of the one who could put your body in hell. But they're afraid of man who can't do nothing. Man who could talk a talk but can't back it up. A person can say what they're going to do and don't have no power to do it because they can't even guarantee that they're going to be alive in the next minute. That's what people are afraid of, but not afraid of God. They don't have a reverential fear. But I see God using you to put the reverential fear back into the body of Christ and into the leaders to where they're unafraid to speak the truth. Mm-hmm. And what we say, that user, Father God, sharpen her, strengthen her, give her the courage to do what needs to be done and to say what needs to be said. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. You were spot on, because a few weeks ago I got a message from a family who's in ministry, and the message was given to my sister for me. And the message, when I got the prophetic message, and when my sister, my real biological sister, told me what she said, I went to the Lord with it, and I said, "It's though she's my family and though she's in ministry, but I wanted to make sure that what I heard was what the Lord was saying." And for a week, I was praying. I said, "God, you got to tell me whether this message is really yours. I said, I know you can speak to people, and she's been in the ministry for a long time, longer than me, but I still need to hear from you, Lord. If I won't do anything with the words that the message you sent me, I won't do anything if it's from you. Let me know. And to my surprise, God asked me a question. The Spirit asked me a question. And he said, what happened to the young prophet in the Bible that I gave a word to tell the king? I told him not to eat from anyone. I told him to go home, return to his to where he belongs, and do not eat from anyone. The question was, what happened to the young prophet? I said he got killed because he listened to the old prophet telling him, say, God said you should eat. And he got killed in the process. He said, that is your answer.
Wow.
I went to the scripture in Samuel and I read it and I got a prayer. I said, Lord, he said, that is your answer. That is your answer. And I just told the Lord, thank you, because I was making sure to not do something that God did not tell me to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, I thank God. Yeah, I thank God. Because sometimes we are blindsided because we are familiar with family and because we are in ministry for a long time. So when you bring a prophetic word, you take it, you want to do what they say. But the Lord told me, he said, what happened to the young prophet who disobeyed me? I did not send a message by the old prophet to you.
Wow.
So. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. God bless you. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying, wow. Wow.
Amen.
Amen.
Did you have anything in particular that you wanted prayer for?
Yes. For my sister, Bertha.
Okay.
I feel that she has a lot of weight on her shoulders, and it is affecting our relationship. And I'm praying for her to be able to get those weight off of her.
Okay. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come touching and agreeing with Nita tonight, Father God, for Bertha. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that Bertha load is lifted, that she learns to release.
Yeah.
That she learns to release, to truly give things to you, know how to give it over to you. We come against any attack of the enemy that brings confusion and fear. And that just tries to stir up the mind to give up control. To give up control. Teach her how to relinquish control, how to just let it go. And to know that you are in control. And
right.
Teach her how to that it's about your timing. It's not about what we always want.
Yes.
But it's all about what you desire.
Amen.
About what you desire. We just pray that her heart is open to receive that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling in tonight.
God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you too. Good night.
Good night.
Next caller is 803-991. You there, 803-991?
Hello, hello, hello. Okay, we'll come back to you. Let's get to 912-246.
Okay, I gotta go now. I'll call you back.
Hello.
Hello.
I was on the other phone trying to change my order that I did for Amazon. Anyway, this is Angela Joy, Georgia.
Hey, Angela. I thought you was telling us we had to go.
No, I was telling that lady. I got my order mixed up, so I was like, I was waiting for y'all guys, and then I thought, well, let me try to do this, and I thought, they're going to call me as soon as I do this.
Yep. You called that one, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh.
Power.
Hey, guys, y'all are blessing me tonight, so praise God.
Wow. Well, let's pray. But I do see manifestation time, like things happening quickly for you. Angela, I mean, even though you said jokingly, as soon as I get on the phone with these people, they're going to get me. That's how a quick turnaround is going to be for you. God is saying be specific. Be deliberate and specific in what you want to see happen in your life.
Amen.
Yeah, not only just in your life, but the lives of other people. And it's gonna be a quick return. Quick return. Even in investment ideas, different investments ideas that God is giving you, it's gonna be a quick return on your investment. Because God is really opening you up to the entrepreneur mindset. Really, it's just a kingdom mindset. We call it entrepreneur, but really it's a kingdom mindset. It's a leader's mindset that goes along with owning, that goes along with having, you know, no lack, you know, in any area, and whether it be health, financial, socially, there won't be any lack in those areas in your life. And so I just thank God for opening
Amen.
You up that to really be deliberate in your speech. And the enemy is going to try to confuse you about things, you know, to try to get you to operate in the emotional realm to say certain things. And he going to be like, you said it, so it's going to happen. No, you'll have moments where you might say some things, but it's what you said isn't what you are saying.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you're mm-hmm. saying is what's going to manifest. We might say some things here and there, but what you're deliberately saying consistently is what's going to manifest. That's what's going to manifest. And so we just thank God for clarity and a keen understanding of your walk during this next season. And being deliberate in shaping and framing your world, being deliberate in it. God's gonna
Amen.
reveal a lot more different things to you on, especially I see like a lot on the business side. So whatever that is, I just pray that it comes forward now in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Yeah.
Amen.
Lord, we just thank you right now, Father God. We thank you for, I see like God opening you up, like with myself. I've always had a prophetic gift from the time I was a child. The first instance that I remember is when I was five. That's as far as far back as I can go, but, and I was not raised in church. I was not raised with any particular set of faith or spirituality, more raised of an agnostic, but I can look back in my life and I always can identify that I had a prophetic gift. And when I did become a believer, I didn't, you know, I came in not knowing about prophecy and all that kind of stuff. So God would just tell me things and I would tell people as he told me, but it was not like how I'm used now. It was, you know, every now and again, and sometimes I would just start praying for people and start prophesying. I didn't know that's what I was doing. Then I know now, because now I know it, because Terrence would say, I'll start praying or we'll start talking. And I'll say it, I'll tell him, I'll be like, I'm prophesying because I know it. I can identify it now.
Mm-hmm.
But remember when God linked me with PGN and how I saw Randy flow, and I'm like, he's a prophet. I'm a prophet. Why don't I flow like that? You know, and he opened, God started to open me up. And I started to see more and more of who I was and who I am. And so it's not that my gift increased, so to speak. I just opened up so that more of it could be seen and utilized and accessed. And that's what I see with you. I see God opening you up, because who you are is already who you are. But you start to see more of who you are as God opens you up. It's not like you're somebody new or different. It's just you are starting to identify it more because you could see it. Now it's in your sight. Now it's in your view. Because at first I was like, maybe I'm not a prophet because I don't operate. I don't flow like that. But God opened me up. So I was able to see that part of me and flow in it. And that's what I see with you. God is going to open you up to where you're going to start having the ability to do things that you not had the ability to do before. But that doesn't mean that that's not who you've always been. You might have had little glimpses of it. You know, when I was 5, I wasn't just going around prophesying over everybody on the playground. You know, I would just see things and then they would happen. Because I remember one of my first experiences with my kindergarten teacher, I was crying on the playground and she asked me why I was crying. And I said, because I know things. And she was like, what do you mean? I was like, I'll see something and then it happens. And I was just boo-hoo crying. That was just the end of the world. And she told me I was special and that God made me special. I remember that, her telling me that. Even though, I mean, I had a concept of God, but I didn't quite know who God was at that age. Mm-hmm. But I knew that that was something important, and she told me that. You know, God used her to tell 5-year-old Tanisha that you have a gift from God, and you're special.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I remember believing that, even though I didn't quite know what that meant, just going back to the playground. You know, I was cool. Mrs. Gaines said that I was special and that was from God. It was a gift. It wasn't something scary or to cry about, you know.
Right.
It's because you're special. So I'm like, oh, okay, cool. You know, but I remember that. But that's who I am now. I was already that. Even then, I just had to develop. And so you're going to see, you know, you're going to see yourself develop quickly. Quickly, where you're like, that's new.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that it's new. It's now you can see it, you know. It's amazing how we, part of our, you know, well, actually our whole lives as believers is becoming who we already have been, who we are, and seeing who we are, and experiencing who we are. You know, we come into this earth, we get all these different concepts, all this stuff thrown at us, expectations from all these different things, and we hook up with God, and we have to learn who he says we are. And we see it when we surrender and trust him and put our will and our life in his hand, then we get the opportunity to see who we are, who we really are. We get to see ourselves from heaven's eyes, which is amazing. But I see that with you, Angela, you're going to really see who you are. God's really going to open you up. So Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you for opening her up so that she can experience who she is, and so that others can experience
mm-hmm.
who you created her to be. And we just thank you for that, Father God, and just continue to order her steps and to chisel her path. Like I see God chiseling a path for you. So God is going to put you in places that are hard for other people to get to. Because what I see is like him chiseling it. So it's almost like it's rocked in, so to speak, like stone with mountains and stuff where people can't get to it, and God's going to chisel a way for you to get there. So you're gonna get to places that are hard for other people to get to, but God is chiseling that as part of your walk. So it's just for you. It's just for you, and just it's just a blessing. So Lord, we just thank you for that. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You're
so precious. I was listening to you, Tanisha, and I was like, man, she is like, better not mess with Tanisha. She knows her God, and you better not mess with Tanisha.
Amen.
She ain't playing. She is not playing. You better not mess with her. She knows her father, so hey, I better watch it. But yeah, that's just how you came across. Like, man, tonight it was like, hey, it's like she's gangster.
Yeah.
A Christian gangster. She's gonna let y'all have it. But yeah, praise God. I just like I like that the chiseling part. I have had a few things going on. I know y'all got lots of callers, so I'm not gonna keep you on here. But yeah, I like that chiseling part because I was wondering as you were saying it, you know, was like God chiseling a path to me to like certain people, because I come across a person that, you know, they kind of said nobody's ever gotten personal with them. And how I had access to them where other people had not had access to them. And, you know, pretty a person who's, you know, has the titles and the money, probably a millionaire, the titles, the money, you know, education, background, everything, but no personal relationships really at all. And so it was kind of interesting how I had access to this person, and I think they're kind of perplexed by me because I don't have the doctorate degree in theology. You know, I'm not over a Bible college. I don't own thousands of, you know, dollars and, you know, well, probably millions. And, you know, this person is kind of like away from everybody and doesn't try to associate, so they're trying to figure out how I got in. I don't know, but I'm just, you know, I was just, when you said that, I kind of thought about that, you know, situation, and I'm thinking, that's kind of interesting, and I don't know my purpose there, you know, in this person's life, really, you know, just kind of like trying to befriend them and, you know, encourage them, and they're like, oh, wow, you know, I know they're sensing like, well, she didn't have all these things behind her name, but, you know, she's kind of there where I need to be sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of interesting that you said that.
Wow.
Yeah, it was kind of a wow. So when you said the chiseling, I thought, was that a path that God put me on? And you know, what do I do with this? But anyway, that's kind of it. I had a situation with some damage to a tree in my yard, and God really spoke to me about it. He broke some stuff off. I mean, this situation with the tree was like bearing a large load of other limbs that were almost the size of the limb that was bearing the load, and so it broke off. And you know, the Lord just kind of spoke to me, like, you know, sometimes we carry loads that we're not designed to carry, so you need to just start, you know, rolling stuff off. And then as my neighbor, he came over and he cut back some of the limbs that were on there and just left the bare stump. And I looked at it today and it was like God was saying, yeah, that's how you need to be. Just like this thing that's stripped of all the burdens that you weren't built to carry. Just like that limb wasn't built to carry all that extra stuff. You're not built to carry it. Just roll it off and see how peaceful that piece of wood there is, just bare and beautiful now, you know. So God's been really speaking to me about a lot of stuff lately, so praise God.
Amen. Wow, I love how God does that. He always uses what we see in the natural, and you know, so it's like how he spoke parables, you know, he knows how to make something stick, and that's true, like you said,
with the trees. I remember I was just telling Terrence's story that there was a time in my life where I was just like really under a lot of pressure and stress, and I asked the Lord why, and he said, because it's like you were built to carry 20 pounds and you're carrying 70, and you're cracking and crushing under the pressure. Because you're carrying weight you're not designed to carry. So that's why you're feeling that load and that burden. That's why you're falling apart, because you're way past capacity. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow. You know, so like what you said is so true with that tree. It's so true. We have to be mindful of what we're carrying, the load that we're carrying, because we could crack under the pressure. We certainly have that ability. You know, just because we serve God don't mean we can't crack under the pressure. You know, that's like somebody testing fate and saying, well, I serve God, let me let this tractor run over my foot. Your foot gonna be broken, you know, because you got something, a weight on it that is your foot ain't designed to carry. And as believers, we have to understand that we do have the ability to crack under the pressure if we allow a load to be on us that's not supposed to be on us. So we have to be mindful of that, even with other people, because sometimes we carry other people's burdens and stress and loads.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to learn how to guide people but not take on their burden. We got to learn how to direct them, like Google Maps. Let me Google Maps you to the feet of Christ, because I can't take that on. Only he could do that exchange for you. That burden, that light yoke, I can't take it on, because I'm a crack under the pressure. I'm gonna be good to nobody, myself and nobody else. But let me guide you to where you can unburden that. You know, so we have to even remember that as believers, especially those of us who are called for leadership, and you know, people who are drawn to us. We have to be mindful of that, and of that balance of not taking on people's burdens and loads and stress. Or we're gonna be just like that tree.
I know. I mean, because I'm telling you, it was really, God really spoke to me about it. And, you know, he was just saying that's what's kind of going on. But he says, but when I break stuff off of you too, that's like a pruning. So it's going to be a place where you're just going to be new growth, you know, coming forth. If you let me, you know, take the stuff off of you, I can prune you where you can actually grow in me, you know.
Yeah.
So he was really saying a lot to me today about that tree. I was like, wow, God, this is, I mean, I did like a Facebook live thing, not live, but I did a Facebook thing, and I kind of talked about it. And as I was talking about it, he started just speaking some other stuff to me as I was talking. I thought, boy, this is really cool. And I think you all mentioned that about, you know, as you open your mouth and just be obedient to just say what God wants you to say, he's just going to continue to just, you know, use you for his glory. Like you said, when you were a child, you didn't understand what was going on. And I had some experiences too as a child that I wasn't really sure about what was going on. But, you know, when I was little, I mean, I can remember back as maybe 4 or 5 years old too, you know, Jesus was as real to me as somebody walking up to the door. You know, it was like I just knew he was there. I don't know how or why I knew he was there, but I just always knew that he was real, and I had access to him. And people would look at me like really strange. I remember one time I was in a little contest where I was older, about 13, 14, little pageant thing. And I remember one of the questions, you know, they asked people a question about, well, if there's a person, you know, that you could meet that's famous, who would you like to meet? Well, I yelled out Jesus Christ, and the people thought it was hysterical. And my sister, remember, she was like 23 when I was born. She was so upset with me because I didn't win. After I gave that answer, I was in, you know, like third runner up or something. She says, "You and that answer, he was talking about." She said, "He was talking about a real person." I said, "Well, Jesus is real." You know, it was just they thought I was like had one flew over the cuckoo's nest. You know, it was like, this girl, don't you get it? That's not what they're talking about. And I just looked at her like, what are you talking about? He is real. You know, I gave the answer. I mean, I didn't even think about it. It just blurted out of my mouth, and people were like, oh, what is she saying? Jesus, you know, it's so weird. It was so, I mean, they thought, let's just carry this girl off now. She needs some help. But I can definitely identify with you. And I will say something about the investment thing, and I'm going to go. I talked to a friend some months ago. So you kind of helped me a little bit there, Terrence, with that, because she's been asking me about some investment things that she's doing, and do I want to get involved in that? It's a blessing. It's blessed her. So I've been in, you know, prayer about that. So, okay, I think I'm going to just kind of reach out, because I knew I wanted to. And I was, like, trying to figure out from God, okay, do I need to move on this? You know, do I need to move on this? So, praise God. Thank you for that.
Amen. Amen. You're welcome.
Amen.
Amen.
We'll be needing those little pushers. Because it's definitely about timing. And,
I've got a birthday coming. I've got a birthday coming up this week, so I was like, I got some stuff I got to take care of before I meet the next decade. I got a birthday coming up.
Happy birthday.
Yes, happy birthday in advance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you. Yeah, so I was like, yeah, I got to make some moves. Hey, guys, I'm old enough to probably be your parent, so, you know, I'm going into that senior citizen thing, so... So I gotta make some moves.
She said this senior citizen thing.
Yeah, well, you know, I can't be spending the rest of my senior citizen years working for somebody else. I need to have some money.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, 'cause you definitely got a lot to do.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so maybe God's trying to help me in that, so I appreciate it. All right, guys, it's been a blessing as usual, and I enjoyed listening to, like, when I wasn't on the phone trying to talk to Amazon, I enjoyed what I heard.
Amen. We thank you for calling in tonight, and, God bless you.
All right. God bless y'all. I'll keep listening.
All right.
All right.
All right. Good night.
Good night. Well, we're going to call it a night. It's after 12. Our time has run out. And there's no way we were going to get everybody tonight, but I know everybody got what they needed. I just thank you all for joining in, as always. We love you, and we pray that all your needs are met, that you walk in peace, victory, love, joy, and happiness.
Yes.
And till next time, God bless you all. Good night.
Good night.